Let's go. Hey, it's Dua Lipa. And tonight I'm alive in a dollar sign. Guaranteed I can blow your mind. And tonight I'm alive in a dollar sign. Guaranteed I can blow your mind.
So let's at least agree to go our separate ways. I was like, oh my God, like all these people are here to come and see me.
This is Glitterbeam.
Folks, I am back. This is Glitterbeam and this is Outtakes. My name, as always, is Joseph Palmer, here to take you through the world of film. And I have to say, there's a lot to talk about today. So we're nearly 6 months through the year, so it's time to do the annual, semi-annual, double annual, I don't know what the word is, look back at the year, what's good, what's bad. Alongside that, we've got two releases to talk about this week. We've got Army of the Dead, the new Zack Snyder film, now available on Netflix, and of course there is Raya and the Last Dragon. I say of course, it was released on Disney Plus a little while ago and then kind of fizzled out. So I'm going to check it out in the cinemas. I have checked it out. And what do I think? You'll find out very, very soon. Otherwise, this week has been a bit wild near me. Odeon hasn't re-released anything and it is our closest cinema. And I don't want to travel, obviously, coronavirus restrictions and all that. So I've had to kind of work around what has been released. Luckily, though, it's allowed me to catch up on a few different movies, including Godzilla v. Kong, a film that I couldn't get a version of a screener of back when it was released for a variety of reasons. It was all technical on my side, so Lionsgate were fantastic about that. But I've finally seen it, and you can find my review on it on the Glitterbeam website. That's www.glitterbeam.co.uk. Otherwise, it's time for movie reviews. But before that, here's some music for you. I've picked a song that most perfectly clashes with our current weather. This is U2 with Beautiful Day. The heart is a blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
It was a beautiful day. Don't let it get away. Beautiful day.
How about another absolute classic for you? That was You Two with Beautiful Day, and this is Tracy Chapman with Fast Car. I don't think there's a song that more generations love as much as this one, but if there is, I have not heard it.
You get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You got a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living. See, my old man's got a problem. Yeah, but the bottle, that's the way it is. He says his body's too old for working. Body's too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said, somebody's got to take care of him. So I quit school and that's what I did. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. Get a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter. Buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs. So I remember when we were driving in your car. So fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. I got a job that pays all our bills. Instead of drinking late at the bar, some more your friends than you do your kids. I'd always hope for better. Thought maybe together you and me find it. I got no plans, I ain't going nowhere. So take your fast car and keep on driving. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so you can fly away? You gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way.
Online, on your smartphone, on your smart home device, and now on digital radio. This is Glitterbeam.
Hey guys, we're back and it's time for the first review of the day. The best part of the day, this is Army of the Dead. This comes from Zack Snyder, straight off of Justice League. Obviously fans have reacted so positively to that movie, so surely this movie is going to be just as good, right? Well, I'm afraid to say Army of the Dead is a bit of a mess. I really came into this desperate to like it. Zack Snyder, I think, did great with the original Dawn of the Dead remake. He's got a great track record with creating stuff that, even if it isn't exactly amazing, gets a real strong fan base behind it, and he's always got a very specific vision. So I really wanted to love this movie. I was really excited for it. But before we get into anything, here is a clip.
We are putting together a crew for a job.
Yeah, what does it pay?
Well, if it pans out, you make $2 million for one day's work.
$2 million?
But
that's my share. That's just for me. $2 million if it pans out. 100% I'm in. Yeah.
You don't want to know, you know, the risks, or?
Why would I want to know the risks? $2 million? It's a lot of cash. Listen, I hate my life so deeply. If I had $2 million, my life would change drastically. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
You sure you don't want to know?
I bet it has something to do with a helicopter.
Yeah.
I'm the helicopter guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do I sign?
So, what's wrong with Army of the Dead? Well, it's actually exceedingly simple. Two things hold it back. One is the fact that it's 2.5 hours long. Now, this wouldn't be a problem if it wasn't for the fact that 2.5 hours includes very little happening. Like, after about an hour or so, we're finally getting onto the real plot of the movie, but that first hour drags and drags and drags. And with the fact that you kind of like the characters to a degree, but there is one character in this movie that I don't think anyone likes. And the reason why no one likes this character is because her response to everything is getting angry and shouting and shouting and shouting. And the rest of the film, you know, whether or not that character is a good character, whether or not it's portrayed well, The film clashes with it completely and consistently. She's the only character shouting at everything. And when you've got a character who's being silly and talking about safe-cracking, and you've got a character who's all about having a giant, you know, like, weird angle grinder as a weapon and whatnot, and you've got characters that fly helicopters and talk about leaving other people behind and making jokes like that, you know, all these characters are specific and built in a certain way, but when one character doesn't fit in with the rest of them at all, that sticks out completely, and it makes it really difficult to watch, especially when it comes to watching the character for most of the runtime. Additionally, the real problem comes down to tone. So Army of the Dead tries to go for a kind of a light-hearted tone, kind of a silly tone, except it doesn't. So half the film is really silly and light-hearted, and it actually does really interesting things with zombies. You know, the whole idea of getting through Vegas for a heist is cool, and the idea of you know, doing that when surrounded by zombies that aren't just as dumb as regular zombies, that actually have a society, is a really cool idea too. And I love the fact that you can, you know, look at the film and see where all the different zombies are from and whatnot. The real problem, though, the huge, glaring, horrifying issue, is the fact that it flips that halfway through, and in the beginning, and, you know, in the middle, and at the end, everywhere along the movie, it keeps flipping and flipping and flipping, and it wants to go, oh, this is a story about camps and the way that immigrants are treated in the US, and this is a story about political powers and way that they treat issues, and this is a story about the way that, you know, people react to LGBT issues, and then it's a story about zombies getting blown up, and you think, this doesn't fit. Now, George A. Romero, in his classic Dead, you know, series, did investigate a lot of different themes, but his themes, like, you know, the way that people react to being trapped together, like in Night of the Living Dead, and that was a lot about race, and then you see Dawn of the Dead, which is about, you know, commercialism and American capitalism. They work because the tone is consistent, and, you know, Night of the Living Dead is a dark and depressing and horrifying movie that works because it's consistently that. Dawn of the Dead is a silly movie, completely stupid, that is ridiculous and over the top and, you know, explosive and violent, and it works because it's consistently that. And then you look at something like Day of the Dead, which is, I think that's what that one is called, but you see something like that, and that is a movie about a military and a militarized US, and that is once again consistent. It's violent and horrifying, and it's consistent with the rest of the movie. This is not consistent in the slightest. The ending is also dreadful. It feels like it desperately wanted some kind of, like, shocks throughout, and so it tried to keep shocking and shocking and shocking. But would you do one shock, the second will never hit, because the first is already gone. People expect now anything to happen. So in that case, it just ends up being really kind of disappointing. a little bit in the opinion that this is possibly, you know, back to the level of Diary of the Dead. It kind of, you know, an interesting idea done badly. I still think that Zack Snyder is going to have a huge fan base. I still think that his films could be mixed, but he overall does usually hit the point that people expect. I just think Army of the Dead is kind of mixed. I'd probably give it a 2.5 stars just for the interesting ideas. Other than that, it just doesn't work for me.
Join us on social media. On Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and on TikTok. Follow Glitterbean UK.
That was 21 Pilots with Shy Away, and now time for a club classic. This is The Killers with Mr. Brightside.
Now
Hey folks, welcome back. Time for the second review of the day. It is time for Raya and the Last Dragon. This is a Disney movie that is initially being released a little while ago, I think in March, on Disney Plus for a hefty fee. I think a lot of people stepped back and didn't pay that. I was one of them. And I knew that when the films, you know, opened up again, it would be back in cinemas. And at that point, you can make the decision whether or not to actually go ahead and watch it. And here we are, we're a couple months later and it's out in cinemas. I do think that actually, genuinely, that is a real kick in the teeth for a lot of people who genuinely paid a lot of money to watch it just once on their TV. And for me, I don't know, this entire thing's just not going to work in the long run, because how is it that people couldn't go ahead and watch movies like this on the TV and then, you know, a month later they say, oh, now it's out in cinema. When it's a staggered release as well and it's not everywhere, it just feels like you kind of, certain people are just not getting the look that they need to be able to watch these movies. You can't say this is only being certain cinemas and only certain people can watch this in cinema. Others, you can just watch it at home for an extra price tag. especially sucks if you've got like a cinema card and you've been trying to support cinemas for a long period of time, and in the past you haven't been able to watch them. So, you know, in the end, it has come to cinema for a small release in a few different places, and I have to say, despite everything, I think Ryan the Last Dragon is brilliant. I think it's brilliant if you're in the cinema, and I genuinely don't think it works nearly as well outside of the cinema. See, Ryan the Last Dragon is about a young girl named Raya, and then a bunch of dragons, and they all get turned to stone. Raya is the only one out of her like area that gets turned, that doesn't get turned to stone. The remaining humans are separated in the world, different tribes that hate each other, and they have to get a stone together to be able to like turn everybody back to normal. But a giant cloud monster keeps grabbing everybody and turning them to stone. It's a really like classic video gaming type plot. And in fact, what I find so interesting about like Ryan the Last Dragon is it does kind of feel like a big sprawling JRPG. You know, it's a, definitely a video game type thing, and it's been dragged into the form of film, but it works really well because you've got a genuine through line, an emotional through line that leads everything down a singular path. Kind of initially, very early on in the movie, have an idea of what the task is for Raya, what the order of that task is going to be, how she's going to go ahead and get everything sorted, what the main villain is going to be, how that main villain is going to clash with Raya. It's a really simplistic thing, but it allows it then to follow a lot of different paths. A lot of different characters come in, and a lot of different themes about forgiveness and friendship, and it's just a lovely story. I think the message is amazing. It's all about the fact that if you forgive and join together, everything is a lot nicer in the world. The problem for me here is that despite it being a really great movie with great action sequences and beautiful visuals, there's a lot of humor in here that just doesn't work. I feel like when you take this out of the cinema and put it on a TV, and you know, remember this could be any type of TV, the visuals might look great and might look pretty, you know, pretty solid, but not nearly as, you know, hard-hittingly like gorgeous. The vistas aren't nearly as powerful. The beauty of the movie doesn't, you know, portray that nicely in comparison to the cinema, alongside the score, which is absolutely gorgeous. So with that, you've got a film that probably doesn't work very well on TV, even though it was sold on TV not so long ago. But additionally, you've got a bunch of really mixed and not very funny humor thrown in there pretty consistently. Like, I'd say every like five minutes or so, there's a joke that doesn't work at all. Like, it falls flat. The real problem with this is the Last Dragon in particular, who just isn't funny in the slightest, but it's consistent humor that never once works. And I don't think I laughed at all throughout the movie. That is a problem. If you're going to have that humor in there, you have to make it work. It feels like they realized that this is a pretty heavy and pretty dark plot for kids, so let's throw in some humor to make it light. That doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. You need to give your, you know, child audience the benefit of the doubt. Say that they're old enough to watch this and enjoy it. See, in the cinemas, I can say that kids were in there. They were quiet all the way through and really well behaved, which, you know, they're kids. I don't expect that, to be perfectly honest. They don't have to be. It's really hard to sit down and watch a film for a certain amount of time. And, you know, when you're young, especially, and when it's not a short film either, I understand that that's actually quite difficult for a lot of kids. And all, you know, all positivity towards them. They were absolutely fantastic. But interestingly, they didn't laugh. I don't think I heard like more than two or three laughs from the entire cinema filled with kids. So the kids weren't finding the humor funny. The kids were enthralled by the action, enthralled by the story, loved it. I heard kids like genuinely start getting worried for the characters at points at the end, and shocked and were joyous when things worked out for people in, you know, the beginning of the movie, and when people were like partying and, you know, things like that early on were people joyous and laughing and happy. And then when things got darker, they were reacting as they should, but never did they laugh. So clearly it's not funny. Other than that, I think Raya the Last Dragon is a great movie. I'd give it probably, I'd say, 4 stars out of 5. I think it's a really solid movie, well worth your time, but don't expect it to make you laugh as much as maybe some of the other Disney movies do. This isn't a funny one, it's just a really solid action Disney adventure movie.
I want to have a little sing-along with you guys.
Sing-along with you.
Hi, this is Ed Sheeran.
Hey guys, I'm Justin Bieber.
I don't care when I'm with my baby, yeah. All the bad things disappear. You're making me feel that maybe I am somebody.
What's up, it's Shawn Mendes.
I love it when you call me, senorita. I wish I could pretend.
This is Glitterbeam.
Loving can hurt. Loving can hurt sometimes, but it's the only thing that I know. When it gets hard, you know it can get hard sometimes. It is the only thing that makes us feel alive. We keep this love in a photograph. We made these memories for ourselves, where our eyes are never closing, hearts are never broken, and time's forever frozen still. So you can keep me inside the pocket of your ripped jeans, holding me closer till our eyes meet. You won't ever be alone. Wait for me to come home. Loving can heal. Loving can mend your soul. And it's the only thing that I know. When you die, keep this love in a photograph. We made these memories for ourselves, where our eyes are never closing, hearts were never broken, time's forever frozen still. So you can keep me inside the pocket. On 6th Street, hearing you whisper through the phone, wait for me to come home.
This is Glitterbeam.
The biggest hits all day long.
I can't help it.
Let's dance, nigga, let's dance. Keep them dream until the
That was Years and Years with Starstruck. And we are back. As always, you're listening to Glitterbeam Radio, and this is Outtakes. My name is Joseph Palmer, and this is 6 months through the year, nearly. I think we're a week off, technically, but next week's pretty busy, so good to do it now. 6 months through the year. What a strange 6 months it's been. Halfway through the year is an interesting time to think back of all the films that were released so far and look at what was good and what wasn't good. I could have done this next week, but I feel like we've got enough big releases coming out next week that I probably won't have time to squeeze it in. So let's quickly get through this. What is my favourite and least favourite movie of the year so far? And what do I think that when it comes out, if you haven't seen it yet, you should watch it on Blu-ray, digital, Netflix, or anything like that? Well, let's start with worst, because we're going to get the bad stuff out first. And there are two options I had here. The first was Thunder Force. Now, Thunder Force, I didn't expect anything from. Bad director, you know, and Melissa McCarthy, when she works with her husband in movies, never works out. Unfunny. Octavia Spencer can't even save it, and she's great. I didn't laugh, I think, more than once or twice throughout the entire thing. Action is terrible. Writing is obviously dreadful. Not interesting. Not entertaining enough. Genuinely rubbish. And if you remember in my review, I said when my girlfriend woke up whilst I was watching this movie, she looked at the screen where it said Thunder Force and said, is that the one with the hamsters? That is funnier than anything in Thunder Force. Thunder Force is terrible, but it's not as terrible as Antebellum. Now, I think that's how you say that. I keep forgetting every single time I talk about it, but I really want to forget this movie. It is so, so bad. And the reason why this one sucks a lot more than Thunder Force and why it gets my absolute top worst of the year so far is because it should have been good. It was an interesting idea done so badly. I don't think I've ever seen an idea this interesting done this badly since Highlander 2. And that is really saying something. This is a disaster of a movie. It's not in the slightest interesting. It's exceedingly slow, exceedingly boring, feels too graphic at points because its entire message is hidden behind a mess of confusing narrative that tries way too hard, and a lot of political ideas that don't hit at all throughout and feel kind of offensive. It's genuinely a tragedy of a movie. I don't think I've seen something that I've reacted this negatively to at the end in a long while, because it just feels like a waste of time. What is the point in this movie? It shouldn't have been made. Someone should have looked at the script and gone, yeah, this is stupid, and thrown it out. It is a dreadful, dreadful film. That's my worst film of the year, but let's be positive. What's the best film of the year? And honestly, I have so many choices I could go with. We've got Raya and the Last Dragon, which I reviewed earlier today. A great, great movie that thinks very highly of its young audience, and I love that. We've got, of course, the excellent, magnificent, beautiful Concrete Cowboys. Now, I really wanted to put this number one, but I couldn't. But let me just quickly say, Concrete Cowboys on Netflix, it didn't get the most positive response from either critics nor audiences, but I think it is a masterpiece. Beautifully told, an awesome story, really interesting, a lot about society in certain areas of the world. We've got a lot about how it's like to live in the poorer part of a city. And alongside that, you've got this gorgeous story about a kid learning to, you know, be an adult with this additional horse, and you know, everyone loves animals in a movie. So it's just a great film. It feels like everything you could expect from a great sort of like heartfelt, beautiful indie movie, but brought into an Idris Elba fronted production. I loved it, absolutely loved it. But of course there's only one answer for this. What's the film that audiences love, that critics loved, that people have reacted really positively for? Why can't I say positively? What people have reacted really positively for? What's a film with gorgeous animation, brilliant voice acting, a fantastic plot, a really exciting and just brilliant overall aesthetic? It's The Mitchells vs. Machines. Now, I think this film is probably the best film, not only of the year, but possibly the best animated film since 2020. Now, obviously, we've only had one other year through there, but I genuinely think this is possibly even better than things like Soul, which a lot of people might say no, but that's fine. I just think this film is just so gorgeous and brilliant. Now, I'm not going to see Wolfwalkers until next week, so that came out 2020. That might be even better, who knows? But this film is fantastic. It's heartfelt, it's gorgeous. It tells a story that I can connect with, being a film nerd and filmmaker. It's a story that I think transcends its initial idea into something a lot deeper and a lot more complex about what it's like to be in a family and about what it's like to be in a family that's kind of a bit on the strange side. It is fantastic. It's going to make you go on a go and hug your parents. It's amazing. Well worth time. And kids will love it. So I don't see what any singular issue with this movie is. I can't tell because it is pretty much perfect. This got 5 stars. I think it's the best movie of the year. If you want to share your best movie of the year, well, go on over to @glitterbeamuk on any of our socials. That's Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. And send it over. Tell me what your favourite is. Tell me what your worst is. And we'll find out if we agree. Fantastic. So, folks, that's all I have for you today. Maybe, though, we've got enough time for just one more song. This is Train with Drive By.
On the other side of the street I knew stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause you moved to West LA or New York or Santa Fe or wherever to get away from me. Oh, but that one night was more than just right. I didn't leave you, cause I was all through. Oh, I was overwhelmed and frankly scared as hell, because I really fell for you. Let's skip to how you've been and get down to the more than friends at last. Oh, but that one night is still the highlight. I didn't need you until I came to. And I was overwhelmed and frankly scared as hell, because I really fell for you. That's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause
oh, I swear to you, I'll be there for you. This is not a drive-by, just a shy guy looking for a two-ply, hefty bag of home. I love when you move me, everything is groovy. They don't like it, so me, the way you do me.
And that, folks, is it. So we've got my favourite and least favourite movie of the year so far. Favourite, of course, The Mitchells vs. the Machines. Least favourite, The Dreadful Antebellum, a film so boring that I don't think anyone should watch it ever, to be perfectly honest. But never mind, we tried, we gave it a shot, you know, it was a terrible shot, but we gave it a shot. So what else is coming out? Well, next week we're seeing The Conjuring 3, and of course Cruella, which is coming out as well. I've been looking into which cinemas are playing what, and it's not very universal. A Quiet Place 2 is playing at some cinemas and not at others. So I'm going to try and catch everything as always, but there's no guarantee that I will. But don't worry, if I can't find and specifically get anything, I will bring you the latest news on what those films are like anyway from the general consensus. Speaking of which, we've got Spiral, which is come out this week alongside Those Who Wish Me Dead, both of which have had mixed reviews overall. I've not been able to catch them because, once again, certain cinemas aren't playing them completely in closed releases. But I'll give you the overall consensus. Spiral has been received poorly, to say the least. It's got reasonably bad reviews. Most people are saying basically the same thing they say about every other Saw movie. It's boring, it makes no sense, and they're all a little bit the same. Of course, if you're a big fan of Saw, it's probably worth seeing it. Otherwise, Those Who Wish Me Dead. I've got an exclusive My Mum review from that one, who says it's just really, really good, which is great. The overall consensus has been a little bit mixed on that one as well. Audiences haven't taken to it quite like I expected them to from a Taylor Sheridan movie, but not everything can be a hit, of course. It seems like a lot of people are saying basically the same thing as they'll say about other things like Godzilla v. Kong, which, once again, is up on the Glitterbeam website right now, my review of that. It's got good action sequences, but the rest of it is a mess. But, you know, it's worth giving it a shot. If it is near you, it is such a limited release that you might just catch a hidden gem. Otherwise, until next week, we'll be bringing you all the reviews in the world. We'll have a wonderful weekly roundup coming up on the Glitterbee website as well to cover the best and the worst of this week so far. But until then, I shall see you next week, as always.